I would start with a very, very bold question or bold statement at the beginning, and that of course nature has not shaped DNA polymerases for advanced applications. So it's not nature that made DNA polymerases to work in PCR applications. It's engineering, and we are embarked on that. We do shape DNA polymerases for advanced application. And I would like to guide you through two let's say main achievements of our group over the years. First, I would like to start with a project that's on tamming the giants of DNA polymerases to make them more behave, to increase the selectivity. This we started with tuck DNA polymerases, and over the years we learned a lot of the structure of tuck DNA polymerases and this smaller sister, the ClanTuck DNA polymerases. And looking at the crystal structure of tuck polymerases, it's apparent that many polar interactions of the side chains to the backbone of the DNA are taking place. Now, they are all highlighted in this figure here and in this illustration. On the primer strand, you see these kind of interactions that all go from arginines, so the R residues, over to a lysine, and they not only are active at the very end of the primer strand, they are reaching far away from the primer terminus. And we looked at the selectivity of a DNA polymerase to look at extension of a matched or mismatched base pair at the very primer end. What we did is we addressed all these mutations, all these sites and its saturation mutagenesis, looked at DNA polymerases that have increased selectivity, but also increased selectivity. And at the end, we tested a few of them that looked very promising. I show you some results now here. It's a typical primer extension experiments we do. So we label primer strands with a radioactive phosphate at the 5' terminus, and then look whether this primer strand is extended by incorporation of nucleotides using dNTP substrates. And here we looked at a TA matched primer terminus versus the extension of a TG mismatched primer terminus. You see here the results we obtained for some selected mutations. And you see the wild type enzyme under the chosen condition does, KTQ stands for ClanTuck DNA polymerase, so this is the smaller sister of TUC DNA polymerase. It extends the matched one, so there's an A in the template strands, but it also extends the mismatched primer terminus. It's of course not what we wanted. And if you look at several other mutations, as you see them listed here, for instance, R587K mutation, we see that we've changed this, we see that from the arginine to lysine, we see extension in the matched case, but almost no extension if the mismatched case. And using these enzymes later on in PCR applications, we really could look at single nucleotide variations in the genome using genomic DNA. For instance, if you have look at the factor 2 prothrombin mutation in humans, if you have the wild type, we have an A there, it gets amplified if you use the right primer. If we have a mutation that is homozygous, we see amplification. If we have the canonical matched one, but not the non-canonical one, and the heterozygous one, we see both are amplifying. And this is all verified by not only by real-time PCR, this is also verified by gel analysis. These results we have published already some while ago. And however, this enzyme then was further tested in other applications that we haven't published to a great extent so far, using them in a in liquid biopsy applications, and again using them from directly from blood plasma, so without any purification of the DNA, the genomic DNA from the blood plasma. We looked at the T2A mutation in the PRAF gene that will lead to this amino acid exchange, which is pretty prominently discussed in the liquid biopsy field. And as I said, we started with 20% blood plasma, no purification of the genomic DNA, and looked how one of our polymerases that we have evolved performs in this setting. And we were very delighted to see that even if we have only 10 copies of the mutated one in a background of 10,000 copies of the wild type one, we can detect this, as you can see here in this green curve. And this was then the basis for founding our company, MyPulse, in 2014. And since 2022, we are part of the Medix Biochemica group. And this enzyme has been further developed for real world applications, like if you're looking for mutations, like SNP detections, a little specific PCR, or looking at quality control in CRISPR-Cas applications. That's the right enzyme. It's a called HiDi DNA polymerase, as we call them at MyPulse. We can do genotyping directly from blood with any other purification, and MyPulse is producing them also as LyoBeads, freeze-dried master mixes containing this enzyme for your applications. Okay, let's come now to the second project. We looked at an enzyme that has now an extended substrate scope. So DNA polymerases, they use a DNA template, which is bound to a DNA primer and synthesize the copy DNA. However, they can't use RNA as a substrate, but RNA, as you know, is often important for pathogen diagnostics like we have in the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic in the moment. So we intended to engineer DNA polymerase with reverse transcriptase and PCR activity all in one enzyme. How do we do this? So we start with a DNA polymerase gene. We diversify this gene by, for instance, an error-prone PCR, so introduce random mutations into the gene. Then we ligate it into an expression vector, transform it to E. coli, pick single colonies of them, and have these colonies expressing the TAC mutant from the crude but cleared and lysed cell lysates. We then do real-time PCR analysis and look on DNA polymerase mutants that are active. And so we have a positive mutant, gives a positive real-time PCR signal, and the negative one stays down. And if we add in this PCR reactions an RNA template, then we can find out of the thousands of polymerases we have generated here, those that are active on RNA templates. On those enzymes, we can further do several rounds of mutation and selection or analysis until we have the optimized DNA polymerase mutant for our applications. This is the results of our endeavors we did over the years. Here is DNA polymerase that has reverse transcriptase and PCR activity. And in usual applications, you need to have two enzymes for this, one for the reverse transcription, one for the PCR activity. Our enzyme can do both. This is now primer extension experiments we did. We show here the results of the wild type enzyme on DNA. The wild type enzyme on DNA doesn't have any activity, of course. It extends if the template is in DNA to the full length product. However, if we use RNA, the wild-type enzyme is basically dead under the chosen conditions. There's no significant reverse transcription with the wild-type enzyme. And here are several mutants we picked. Hit 1, hit 2 are the best ones at the end. We found they are all active on DNA, but they're also active on RNA when RNA is used as a template, so really reverse transcription activity. And they're also are PCR active, as shown here. Here we used RNA throat extracts from the influenza virus A from 2012, and directly from samples that were taken from patients, and without any RNA extraction, again going from crude extracts and looking at them in real-time PCR curves, and you see where they are supposed to be active. All they were all active in our studies, and we were very delighted on that. And this is another building block of the MyPulse product portfolio. This is now further optimized product on that. So Volcano 3G products that you can find at MyPulse. However, we are not only interested in generating these enzymes for application. We somehow want to understand how this new activity is embedded. And so we embarked on crystal structure elucidation of these enzymes. We were very lucky to obtain this Volcano DNA polymerase in crystals, where it's processing DNA templates as well as RNA templates. And the next movie shows you a morph between the DNA structure to the RNA structure. What you see now in the middle is DNA complex, and now it's the RNA DNA complex. These are the differences the DNA polymerase has to adapt. And you could see that this was really shifted away from its original position of the original DNA polymerase. And the next scheme somehow summarizes what we found. This is the reverse transcription active DNA polymerase in the complex with DNA. What we find is are these kind of interactions. These are exactly the same interactions as from the wild type enzyme. Nothing special, nothing particularly interesting. But if you look then at the complex with the RNA template strand and the DNA primer strand, we see that particularly on the template strand, a lot of interactions are missing, and that I have to be compensated by other interactions here on the primer side. And the primer side, as you can see them here. Yeah. I guess it's very interesting to getting these kind of atomistic insights into this DNA polymerase. This DNA polymerase we now use as a platform for further modifications, further applications, for instance, chasing modifications in RNA. RNA is highly modified, so we have about 150 post-transcription RNA modifications in RNA, not only in tRNA, there they are most abundant and perhaps most known, but also in mRNA and ribosomal RNA. And two very prominent modifications are those at the 2' A site here. It's sugar, but also on the A on the nucleobase. And we found means on PCR as well as next generation sequencing to detect these modifications by very simple PCR based or DNA polymerase based methods. However, most important applications is of course the detection of the coronavirus. And in 2020, in a cooperation of MyPulse, the lab of a colleague of mine in transfection biology, as well as the local hospital and the local diagnostic laboratory here in Konstanz, and my lab, we developed a first direct SARS-CoV-2 detection assay, where we targeted the N gene. We needed to use a second primer, which was a bit complicated then, but however, the data we obtained were reliable, and if we did everything afterwards, added a DNA specific dye, one could really look at N specific amplifications with the naked eye, so without using a real-time PCR machine. But the real-time PCR machine worked very nicely. These are the samples, the results of samples that we collected directly from patients, no? Directly from swabs. No? But however, over the time, over the weeks afterwards at MyPulse, we optimized this this kit, that it doesn't work with an additional primer. It works just as all other SARS-CoV-2 detection kits, but it works directly from throat washes. So you gargle 20 to 30 seconds. That's what I did this morning here at the university, for instance. We use it, and we don't process the samples anymore afterwards. So we don't purify the RNA from these samples, which saves time and money. And this is that why this PCR run takes only 1 hour. And of course, a bit depending on the PCR cycler speed, but no RNA extraction is needed. It runs on every standard real-time PCR light cycler and has been proved that it works now over 1 million times. If you need more information on that, look at the homepage of MyPulse. At YouTube, there's a video on that, or contact us. We're very open and happy to answer your questions. With this, I'm already done, and I would like to thank you for your attention and sending greetings from the Lake of Constance in the very south of Germany.